If I'm going down, I'm going to take everybody with me. You remember that statement? Remember hearing that in this trial? Think back to Natasha Hayes' testimony. She's the one from up in Kentucky where they went up to when they fled here in Knoxville. And she told you that when Cobbins went upstairs and looked on that computer and saw his face on the news connected with this murder, that was the words he said. That was the vow he made. If I'm going down, I'm taking everybody with me. And he's followed through on that vow. He followed through with it on his statements as he pointed the fingers at everybody else. He's followed through on that in this trial. That's been his whole strategy all along, to point the finger at everybody else. And ladies and gentlemen, the state's not going to get up here and try to defend LaMarcus Davidson or Eric Boyd or George Thomas or any of these other people. They're murderers. They're murderers. And they'll have their day in court. They'll have their day in court. The one that's on trial today is the one seated over there, Mr. Cobbins. And he's the one that has to answer for his decisions in this case. Criminal responsibility is a key concept in this case, you've come to realize. The judge has instructed you on that. It's a concept that the law has developed for a situation just like this, when you've got multiple bad actors doing horrible things. No question, that's what's going on in this case. And when you join in a group like that, when you willingly go in and you participate in that crime with all those other individuals, you're just as guilty as they are. He wants to talk about those trash bags. Mr. Cobbins' fingerprints don't have to be on those trash bags. Criminal responsibility tells you he is just as guilty as Mr. Davidson of stuffing Shannon Christian in that trash can. His fingerprints don't have to be on that gun that put the bullets in Chris Newsom. That cowardly act. Talk about an act of a coward, taking a boy out, blindfold on, and putting bullets in his back. That's the act of a coward. And criminal responsibility tells you Mr. Cobbins is just as guilty as the man who put those bullets in. He's in that group. Now he wants to come in here and tell you, I didn't know what was going down. I wasn't with all this. This wasn't me. But you look at the circumstances in this case. You look at the evidence. Think back to the whole story that you've heard. Go back to the very beginning of the case when you heard about Mr. Davidson, convicted carjacker, convicted robber, comes here to Knoxville shortly after getting out of the penitentiary. And who comes to visit him? Mr. Cobbins, repeatedly. Now, there's nothing wrong with trying to reestablish ties to your brother. But shouldn't Mr. Cobbins have seen those red flags when he got back? His brother wasn't reformed. His brother's down here slinging dope. His brother's offering him guns. And what does Mr. Cobbins do? I think I'll take the pretty shiny one. Does that sound like somebody who's not down with it? That's not going to go along with all of this? He's right there alongside his brother. All the way. Think back to what you heard about what happened in that home. Stacy Lawson came down there on this last trip shortly after Christmas. She's there in that house. She brought Mr. Cobbins down and George Thomas and Vanessa Coleman. And something happens, some argument or something, and Davidson goes back and pulls that gun out and puts it right in her face. And she told you Mr. Cobbins was there and saw that. Stacy Lawson knows, hey, this isn't for me. This isn't for me. I'm getting out of here. And she wanted everybody to go back with her. But you know what? That car went back with 3 empty seats. Mr. Cobbins had no problems. He stayed right there with it. Could have gone back to Kentucky on the 2nd. But apparently he had no issues with what was going on in that house. He sees Daphne Sutton getting beaten up. Does that raise any red flags to Mr. Cobbins? Other than, that's okay, Daphne. It'll be okay. I didn't do anything to help you here, but it'll be okay.
He doesn't leave.
And then look back at his statements as you're getting closer to this crime. Think about what their situation is. They have no car now. Daphne Sutton's car is out there in front of Rhonda Duke's house, broken down. Stacy Lawson is taking her ride back up to Kentucky. They're hoofing it everywhere. The rent man's coming by wanting money for the rent. They have no money. So what's Mr. Davidson say? I'm going to do a carjacking. I'm going to go on a robbery spree. Mr. Cobbins knows that those aren't idle. That's not idle talk. Mr. Davidson's going to do that. Again, does Mr. Cobbins leave? Does he go tell anybody? Does he go try to stop this? He walks out of that house that evening with Mr. Davidson right alongside of him. Meets up with Eric Boyd and goes up there. And he wants to tell you that he didn't know what was going to happen. They ride around, as he told you this morning. They rode around the apartment complex twice. What do you think they're talking about in a car when they're riding around Washington Ridge Apartments twice? They're looking for somebody to carjack. And they found their victims, Chris and Shannon, standing there kissing on a date in the wrong place at the wrong time. And they backed their car in. And here's the critical part. Eric Boyd and LaMarcus Davidson jump out of the car. And Mr. Cobbins wants you to believe that he had no idea what was going on, what was about to happen. That somehow, Eric Boyd and LaMarcus Davidson, through ESP or some sort of mental connection, knew what to do, knew to jump out of that car and go carjack, and never said anything to each other before they jumped out of the car. That Davidson, or that Mr. Cobbins was totally surprised. And do you think Mr. Davidson and Mr. Boyd, these experienced criminals, would get out of that car and try to pull this crime off if they knew Mr. Cobbins wasn't behind their back? They knew he had their back. That he was with it all the way. You don't tell me how else you know he was with them all the way? Because of what he did afterwards. The judge has instructed you this morning, you can go back and look. You look at what his actions are afterwards to judge whether his intent is to be criminally responsible for the actions of another. Because what does he do? He follows right behind him. They go right on Washington Pike. He goes right. We won't go through all that, but you know what he did. And they went back to that house. And think about taking them back to the house. I mean, if you're taking somebody back to where you live, you've carjacked them, you've brought them back there, you take them back to their house, they're doomed. You're not going to let those people go. You let them go and they're going to go to the police and take you right back to where you live. The moment that 4Runner pulled in front of 2316 Chipman Street, Chris Newsom and Shannon Christian were doomed. And what does Cobbins do? Again, he joins right in. He joins right in. They have to get rid of the boy, so they can get to the girl. That's exactly what they do. They take that boy out there, and they execute him. There by the railroad tracks, in the middle of the night. And what's Mr. Cobbins doing as well? And here's a critical point as well. He told you that during that rape, when he was raping Shannon Christian, who was in the house? Who was in the house with him? His girlfriend, Vanessa Coleman, there in the bathroom. Davidson was gone. Eric Boyd was gone. the action of somebody that's not with all of this, that's not part of this whole scheme, that was the time to get out of there. To take Shannon Christian with you. To free her. To be a hero. That's not what he does at all. He rapes her. And he leaves her there for his brother to have his way with her. That is not the actions of somebody going, that's not going along with this crime. That is somebody that's in it. That's running along with it. That's in it all the way. That's criminally responsible for everything that goes on. And you notice how Mr. Cobbins, when he testified this morning, he talked about the rape, and then he talked about, well, hours go by, and hours go by. They stay at the house. Sort of vague about that. You know, hours go by, hours go by. What's going on right then? That's when Shannon Christian is getting brutalized. And he's there right in that tiny little house with it. Going along with everything. And he's there at the end. He's there at the beginning of this crime. And he's there at the end when Shannon Christian is stuffed in that trash can. And again, does he go to the police when he gets away? On that long drive back up to Kentucky with Jody Long, does he go to the police? Once he gets back to the safety of Lebanon, Lebanon, Kentucky, does he go to the police and say, oh, you just can't believe what's going on? No. No, he starts trying to come up with an alibi. Those are the actions of somebody who is in this, that's criminally responsible for every single thing that happened. He made those decisions. He wants to come in here and say, well, I'll plead to the rape without bodily injury. Take away the element of bodily injury. I'll plead to that. I'll plead to a facilitation. He's trying to take the decision out of your hands. That's not good enough. That's not justice. He has to answer for his decisions. But now it's going to be your decision. Now it's time for you to go back and deliberate. And we're not asking for a verdict based out of anger. Because you feel sorry for what happened to Shannon and Christian, or for Shannon Christian and Chris Newsom, no matter how hard it was to see and hear about. We're not asking for that kind of verdict. The state just wants a just verdict. Justice. That's all we're asking for. We look forward to your decision.
Does anybody need a break before I finish this up? Another 20 minutes, 30 minutes? Okay. All right, if you want to turn back, ladies and gentlemen, to page 65 of the instructions, we'll finish that up.